and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I'm a little sleepy. What with the Bill Clinton special last night and all? 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A big Tuesday show. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, coming up. We also have one of the Wisconsin state senators, the Democrats, that are in hiding.
That's right.
Do we have to disguise her voice? Oh, no, they still can't find her. Okay, never mind. Republican tool, Rich Galen.
GOP strategist.
Exactly. Exactly.
Whatever.
Also on the big show. You know what I didn't know? Is he worked for both Dan Quayle and, Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
So he's worked with the dumbest and the meanest Republican ever. We'll ask him how he feels about that. It's not easy to be a press secretary for the dumbest and the meanest Republicans ever. Although now there's Sarah Palin and now there's even meaner Republicans. So, it's all relative.
I think Michelle Bachmann might even be dumber than
Dan
Quayle.
It's hard. It's like a dumb off.
Yeah.
Throw Sarah Palin in the mix and who knows. All right, so lots to get to today. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, Chris and Yankton, by the way.
What?
Another spectacularly successful Edie McClurg reading of Sarah Palin. It's Sarah Palin Masterpiece Theater.
Yes.
As imagined by Edie McClurg. Chris writes, Steph, I always love it when Dame Edie McClurg joins the Stephanie Miller players to perform the collected works of Sarah Palin. It's like Trailer Park Shakespeare for brain-damaged meth users.
Oh.
Thank you. Yeah, you don't want to miss Mondays from the Clerg. That is.
That's some good radio.
And we had Chris Matthews yesterday. Yes! Ah! All right. I believe Children of the Future. Have I mentioned that?
I believe yes. Children are future.
Steph, my name is Ashley. Fine American Ashley. My name is Ashley. I'm 18, and I would like to be the official whippersnapper of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. I didn't know kids called themselves that anymore.
Apparently.
Huh.
She's olden style like Mama.
Yeah.
You and your crew are my heroes and make my life in a small conservative town that much more bearable. I come from one of those giant Irish Catholic families, and there's always a right-wing nutbag somewhere.
Yep.
Oh, boy, howdy, don't I know it, Ashley. I'm not speaking of anybody in particular.
No.
No. Thanks to you, I have the knowledge to be able to laugh in their faces when they bring up a Republican talking point at parties. I recommend you to anyone even moderately liberal. Oh, right-wingers love us too, Ashley. No need to be even moderately liberal.
Even Rich Galen loves us.
Oh, right-wing Billy in Texas wants to date me and kiss me and marry me. So keep fighting the good fight. Remember, there are young minds everywhere that really believe everything you say. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And do. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, that part. Not that part. And in the future, when anybody stupid enough to accept any Limbaugh, Beck, Palin idea will have died out by the process of evolution, this generation will certainly remember its mama.
Aww. That's just cute as Bug's teeth.
Oh, not as cute as this one.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Lisa in Dayton, Ohio. A proud daughter of union leaders. Woohoo!
Go union.
Thank you. Hey, Mom and the Mooks. I was listening to the show while my six-year-old... Oh, this is never good. Was in the room the other day, courtesy of the StepCast, available for the low, low price of $4.95 a month. Thank you, Lisa. Mm-hmm. You referred to the Speaker of the House as boner. Did I do that? I don't. Was that me?
No, we don't do that.
I don't think that was me. To which my 14-year-old chuckled.
Of course.
Being a grammar Nazi myself, I sang the when two vowels go walking, the first one does the talking. The 6-year-old began to laugh uncontrollably, repeating hysterically, John Boner, John Boner. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Being the concerned parent that I am, I wondered why the 6-year-old was laughing so much. I asked him if he knew what boner meant. He smiled big and said, silly, Mommy, they fix bones. To which I replied, that is absolutely right, son. Thanks for helping educate my sons. You're welcome, Lisa. I'm just filling the void until the Wisconsin teachers are back, until the real teachers are back. I'm just the entertainment.
You could be a teacher.
I am a teacher.
You're teaching America's youth.
I think the teachers are back today, thank God. There's going to be more 6-year-olds giggling and saying boner. I know. He's absolutely right. It's the fixing of bones.
That's right.
That's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and let's see, Bill writes, Steph, your show's the best thing on the radio. Oh, heavens. And I thought you'd enjoy this item about your newest sponsor, an A-list sponsor, by the way. That's right, the Stephanie Miller Show welcomes Mercedes-Benz, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, we do.
Why? I imagine there must be some power to the Steph Show and the advertising on the Stephanie Miller broadcast. Why? And thank you, Mercedes-Benz.
The Stephanie Miller players do nothing but drive Mercedes-Benzes all day long.
No, we can't afford them, but we support them. anyway, Bill must be a car head. He found this on the interwebs. Recession, what recession? So it seems this global recession has not impacted negatively on everyone. Check this out. It's a Mercedes-Benz owned by the Abu Dhabi oil billionaire, featuring a newly developed V10 quad turbo with 1,600 horsepower, 2,800 something of torque. I don't know. Let's see. It can go 0 to 100 in less than 2 seconds.
Holy crap.
A quarter of a mile in 6.89 seconds running on biofuel.
Wow.
How about that? That is not stainless steel. He sent me a picture. It is white gold. Mercedes made entirely of white gold. Driven by the...
That seems a bit excessive.
We may need to start scraping together. We'll start saving for that one now.
Okay.
That may not be my starter Mercedes. Made entirely of white gold.
Is it convertible?
No.
No.
No? It's white gold, even on the top.
Oh, I'd want a convertible.
If you have to ask how much it is, you can't afford it, Chris.
I know.
Does it come in something else? Does it come in silver? Is there something, other precious metal?
It's kind of like shopping at Prada, you know, or Henri Bendel. Yeah.
All right. So obviously, what continues to go on in Wisconsin, just stunning. And and may I just say, obviously, not just national, international. I love that they're getting sent pizzas from Egypt now.
Yeah.
In solidarity. This is what solidarity looks like. I love somebody said, thank you, Governor Walker. In a million years, we couldn't have taught kids this much about solidarity and labor and organizing. Thank you, Governor Wanker.
Although CNN did a report on, the pizzas from Cairo.
Yes.
They're not quite sure whether it's from Cairo, Egypt or Cairo, New York.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's a little
bit
of dispute.
They have a chalkboard at the pizza place showing what countries all the people are calling from to send pizzas,
yeah.
Which I just, it's a delightful story. You guys are going to be so fat. All right. this one, Egyptian man names daughter Facebook in tribute to the success of the protests.
Oh, that's so cute. Huh?
Isn't that cute? She, of course, joined siblings Twitter, MySpace, and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
See, those are older interweb things that the first siblings were named and then...
poor MySpace just sits in a corner being ignored by everybody.
Okay, can I say once again, stop sending me those damn LinkedIn things. I'm not joining your LinkedIn network thing, whatever.
You don't have a LinkedIn page.
No, I'm not. I don't join anybody's anything.
Stop. You're not a joiner.
I just got another one yesterday. So-and-so would like to send you a reminder that you've been invited. It's like, yes, I know, I got it. I ignored it.
I hit delete.
Yes, exactly. All right. What was it, like 70,000 of people, I think, were in the rallies this past weekend?
Yeah.
First of all, how do you ignore that? I mean, these Democratic legislators are absolutely doing the right thing. You can't just ignore this. I mean, and now they're saying, I mean, you've got to sort of base it on, I don't know, circumstantial evidence, I guess, but that I think public opinion appears to be turning, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a tough space now because he's backed himself into a corner. A Wisconsin protester. Yes. State Senator John Erpenbach, he's one of the Democrats. He said he and fellow Democrats are winning the public debate in opposing Governor Scott Walker's budget repair bill. Is he right? A highly unscientific perusal of stories and online polls suggests he might be. A one group called We Ask America polled 2,400 Wisconsin residents about midweek. Walker's bill came out behind by 52-43% margin in that one. I think one of the key things they're saying is local business community may be starting to turn as well.
Yep.
I mean, I think there's just a basic sense of fairness of the American spirit that is offended by this whole thing. Because it's just, it's pretty transparent what he's trying to do. The facts are the facts. Dick Durbin, Senator of Illinois.
If you think this is just about money in the budget, then you might believe Cesar Chavez was just working to get a couple pennies more per pound for grapes, or that Martin Luther King was really working for access to hotels and restaurants.
Exactly. That's what, you know, one protester after another says, is this is not about money. This is about basic fairness. It's about our rights.
Yeah.
I mean, there just isn't any other way to spin that whole thing. And as I say, once again, the facts are the facts. This one, where is this from? Every day the Wisconsin GOP has dismissed the protests, saying they won't last another day. That's the other thing. Is it just me, the patronizing tone that these Republicans have and the governor has? Just, oh, now stop. Like you're, like if they're toddlers spinning on their back in a Walmart parking lot. Like, okay, have you yelled yourself out? All right, time to come home now. It's like, you know, this is the history of workers' rights in America that's at stake here. This
that's
is
right.
not, anyway. Each day the protests getting bigger and bigger by the estimates of 10,000 people each day. These protests have been successful in gaining a great deal of public support. A new statewide poll, yet another one, shows 65% of Wisconsin residents think Walker has gone too far in his attack on public employees. I mean, I think the other thing, Chris, is that they're willing to negotiate.
That's
they're
right.
even saying they'll give him what he wants in this bill, which, I God bless them. I mean, to me, we're breaking our deal with them, but they're saying we're willing to do that. But how can you justify taking away our collective bargaining rights forever? There's nothing. Clearly, this has nothing to do with money.
That's right.
The protests do appear to be growing, have entered the realm where they're no longer something being planned, but they're happening spontaneously as people get inspired by the events. Dozens of smaller protests popping up at smaller cities throughout Wisconsin as students are walking out of numerous schools across the state. Key thing to watch, whether the protest will grow enough to stop him from giving his scheduled budget address. It's today, right? He's attempting to move the speech to a location outside of the state legislature building. Yeah, it's a little loud in there.
You think?
I love that. Did anyone see the Republican legislator that Chris Matthews had on yesterday? He looked like a, I don't know, an SNL character, some sort of like John Bolton on crack, and everybody's yelling behind him. And he, once again, Chris, you have all your facts wrong. And he's just, he was very agitated.
Yeah.
At any rate, what was I saying? Oh, so anyway, so he, that's potentially in violation of state law, moving, you're not, anyway, so he has also announced he will not present his actual budget till a week later, but just give a speech. So a lot of local governments upset now about the bill. It not only affects the ability of public workers to bargain, but also makes drastic cuts in many basic services and municipality funding. I mean, we're getting call after call and letter after letter from people that are saying, do you know what else is in this bill? I don't know. I'm sure you saw the tape of the Democratic legislature just losing his yesterday. But it's true. He's like, we were told to be here at 5 o'clock, like 3 minutes before. The bill's 144 pages. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the definition of trying to ram something through without. Anyway, but he was great. He was understandably passionate. And, yeah, I get we're in the minority. This is not how we do things here.
Right.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest from Wisconsin as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We have a Wisconsin Democratic state senator coming up.
That's right.
Who is calling in from 25 minutes.
I think it's safe to say it's Illinois. I think we all know
I think
it's Illinois.
Knows that now.
Yeah.
I love Chris Matthews yesterday. He's like, Bear Country. Okay, well, I'm guessing that's Illinois. Oh, good one, Chris. Nothing gets by you.
Like
he's speaking in code. Yes, yeah. Bear Country. Chicago Bears. Yes.
There's... probably like a Days Inn in Schaumburg or something.
I'm gonna guess Schaumburg.
Yeah,
somewhere
near the Chuckle Hut. What was the place in Schaumburg?
Funny Bone. No.
Oh.
Zanies. I know something. Oh. Who can remember my comedy, my stand-up days in Chicago anymore? Dear God, that was two noses ago.
Wait a minute. So you did stand-up in Chicago and you did a morning show?
Yes.
How were you able to do those at the...
Not very well.
Oh. Okay.
As is evidenced by my career.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Oh.
Dear. Bless my heart.
Bless your heart.
Okay. Governor Wenker.
We're broke, just like nearly every other state across the country. We're broke. It's about time somebody stood up and told the truth.
Yeah. How about if we start with you? How about if we start with you telling the truth? Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of these, Chris, just facts and figures. You know, Wisconsin, like a lot of states, does have a budget problem, yep. But it's far from the nation's largest. I mean, the definition of a crisis, I suppose, is a small one compared with the leading deficit distress states. The deficit is 12.8% of the state's total budget. Nevada is like 45%. Illinois, almost 45%, yada, yada. So, and once again, the fact remains, this has absolutely nothing to do with unions. It was not caused by unions. And obviously that's the dispute, is whether they should have to pay for it.
Yep.
Nikki in Los Angeles here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Love your show.
Thank you.
I had a question about the whole collective bargaining problem. In California, I'm a liberal Democrat. Always have, always will be. But I don't really understand why they contribute so little to their pension and their health care.
Well, let me...
Okay,
well, let me explain.
Okay.
We make it, you and I, as the taxpayers, we made a deal with them. That's what happens. And a lot of this is not, again, their fault. It's sort of the fault of the structure. A lot of taxpayers, like out here in California, right, we always get these propositions. Mm-hmm. And people go, would you like free ponies and candies? And we always go, yes. And then they say, would you like to pay more taxes? And then we vote no. And now we wonder why we have this huge budget crisis in California. So what we do is we say, yes, we want these teachers and these blah, 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 but we don't want to pay now. We're going to give them benefits instead. So they say, okay, I'm going to take less pay so that I can – that's what I'm saying, is that's the deal we make with them. You know what I mean, Nikki? If you've ever bought a car or a house or you bargained for anything, this is the deal that we made.
Mm-hmm.
We said, okay, we're going to pay you later in pension or whatever. Now later has come and we can't afford it. But if you were them, wouldn't you feel screwed?
I would feel screwed, and I understand the situation because it's rough for everybody right now.
And they understand that, and they've agreed to everything he's asked for fiscally. So this is not about money. They've said, okay, we get it. Times are tough. You got to break your promise. Okay, fine. But he wants to take their ability to bargain away for the rest of your life? I mean, how does that work?
Personally, I don't think we need to have public employees because I don't have a lifetime pension plan. I pay 60% of my health care, and why not make it a public employees? Put it out there to the private industry. I would like to work for the state capital in Sacramento, but you know what? I don't have the luxury to go work for Sacramento when I need to make
How
money.
Are you not going to have teachers and cops and firemen? What do you mean? How are we going to...
I can be a teacher. Why? I can be a teacher and not be a public employee. I can be a teacher.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
I understand.
Sorry, we're out of time, and I... Wow.
So she wants to get rid of all public employees.
That seems teabaggy and the Department of Education need to me. She said she's a liberal Democrat. All right, then.
Take her word for it, I suppose.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller,
a lovely girl
who came from beyond the stars to spot in the sea.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Yeah, I was confused. I was thinking we would have to distort her voice like Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, I would be like, you're a Democratic Wisconsin state senator, and she'd be like, wah, 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 wah. But then I realized they can't tell where she is from her voice.
No.
It's all right.
Yeah.
State Senator Kathleen Vinehout joins us now from somewhere. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am in solidarity with all the people whose sign says 14,
which refers
to y'all.
Thank you. My heart is happy because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Kathleen, can you give us, you know, what your take is on the update? I know Madison teachers are supposed to return today. I don't know where do you feel like we stand here on this standoff?
Well, I think we learned a little bit last night listening to Governor Walker and his press conference. He's a little bit uncomfortable with what we've been talking about, which is that this is really all about workers' rights. And when the teachers and the public employees gave concessions on the financial side, it became very clear. The veil dropped off for those of us that had seen beyond the veil before. Finally, everybody else that wanted to see could see what this is really about, and it's really about workers' rights.
Right. Well, I think that's become clear, and I think it really is the right thing that you guys did. I love the Party of Lincoln has neglected to mention that guess who did this originally, fled the Capitol so that to avoid a vote? Abraham Lincoln did. Did you know that?
I did not, but that's fabulous.
Yes. Then State Representative Abraham Lincoln fled the Capitol in Springfield, Illinois, via a window, no less. I don't think any of you jumped out a window to do the same thing in an attempt to save the State Bank of Illinois many years ago. But, you know, I think that what you're saying is absolutely true, that you felt like you had no choice in order to slow things down. It's like you can't ignore 70,000 people in the state capitol, can you, Kathleen?
Well, I certainly can't. My job is to represent my people, and that's why I find it a little maddening that Governor Walker says, okay, well, get back to work. Well, my job is not sitting on the floor and voting yes or no on what the Republicans think is important. My job is to help, is to represent those people that have elected me and make the best judgment on what it is that I think is best for them and best for the state by listening to them. And I've had unprecedented contacts from my constituents. About 95% of the people who have contacted me that we've actually been able to get through strongly support this our stand that we've taken. So, I'm all about. My job is to represent the people.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kathleen, I think, like you say, this is he may regret that, you know, he shines such an international spotlight, really, on all this, because, as you say, the facts are pretty clear that, you know, first of all, he didn't inherit a deficit, that he gave these, you know, tax breaks to special interests, and, you know, now he's trying to solve his deficit that he just created on the backs of workers.
And we were able to balance twice the deficit. We had a $6.6 billion deficit 2 years ago, and this is $3 or $3.5 billion if you add in everything the agencies want. So, yeah, the whole budget issue is a bogus issue, which I know people in the press have done a great job of covering.
Well, and as you say, now it becomes the fact that they've agreed to every concession, right? They've said, we'll give you what you want, Governor Walker, but, I mean, this is makes it so clear that he just wants to break the unions, right?
Mm-hmm. And then he said yesterday, well, I can't take a temporary fix. I have to take a long-term fix. And, of course, what was in his budget, you know, the financial part of it is bonding. It's taking away the principal payment and not paying it for another 10 years. So, hello, isn't that a short-term fix?
Right, right. I love one Wisconsin-based labor organizer said, thank you, Scott Walker. If we were given $1 million, there's no way we could have taught so many kids about solidarity labor organizing and the power of the people when they unite. And I think that's what it is I don't think he saw this kind of solidarity coming from not all over the country, but all over the world.
And what I find absolutely unbelievable is that he doesn't listen to it. Why would you go into public service to not listen to the public? It's definitely, it makes no sense to me.
Right. Well, you know, exactly. And as you know, I mean, I think this is so important because it's not just Wisconsin. I mean, there's a great story today about it's really a 15-state Republican power grab.
Yeah, it's real scary. It's real scary. And all I kept thinking was, boy, elections have consequences.
Well, exactly. Exactly. So what happens today? Is Governor Walker giving his speech today or not? Is it?
Well, what we've heard, and I think you will find this most amusing, is that he's doing a fireside chat.
Oh, no.
I see. Yeah.
And I was wondering where he was going to find this little fire.
He's I hear it's a little noisy in the Capitol to do his speech from there. Yeah, I love that he's out there saying I'm getting enormous support. And but, oh, I guess. Yeah, I guess what we're seeing on television is all green screen. Yeah.
To invoke FDR.
Right,
right, right.
And his relationship with the people and his ability to serve the people. Like, how blind does he think we are?
Yeah.
Right, right. So, Kathleen, how do you and the other Democratic senators see this playing out? I mean, I was saying before the break about how condescending it is to me. Like, he's, you know, pretending like your toddler is having a tantrum in the Walmart parking lot or something,
he's trying to coerce us. He keeps threatening to take away our staff, and as you know, if you're in the legislature, we only have a few staff members, and those guys really, really help us. If we lost them, it's like losing a family member. He's threatening to pull bills that are absolutely egregious that he knows we want to debate to completely run around or circumvent the political process, the public, the slow, deliberative process that we have of public hearings. I mean, the kinds of things that he's threatening to do really make me think that we're headed to a constitutional crisis. There is a balance of powers. I am an independent constitutional officer. I am elected by my people. I have the resources to do my job. The legislature is a co-equal branch of government. And right now, the legislature isn't even in the same stratosphere as the executive branch.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that obviously has been much discussed is, the exemption of police and fire unions undermines his claims. They're writing in the New York Times that police and fire unions, which has some of the most expensive benefits, but who supported Mr. Walker's campaign for governor, are exempted. Making certainly this look further transparently political, right?
Did you hear yesterday that the troopers supported him in the election have now withdrawn their support?
Oh,
I did.
Really?
They're supporting us, yes. And the libertarians have come out in favor of us.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know what? I think it is. Some issues, Kathleen, become not just partisan, but just about a basic sense of American fairness, don't you think? I mean,
absolutely.
I think it's fairly easy to see that the unions have offered, concessions. And the way I've been explaining it to my listeners, and you tell me if this is correct. But I think anyone that's ever negotiated for anything, right, understands this, whether it's a car or a house or whatever. This is the deal we made with these public employees, right? We said, okay, if you take less pay now because we can't afford that, we're going to give you this, in pensions or whatever benefits later. And they said, okay, right? And now basically we're going back on our deal to them, which they even understand. Okay, times are tight. Now things have changed. But, I mean, the fact that they've said, okay, I mean, it makes it even seem even more egregious what the governor's doing.
Yeah, he's moved from the realm of having a good working relationship to being a tyrant.
Right, right. I think there's a Facebook page, isn't there, comparing him to Mubarak? Oh, Mini Mubarak is the website. Well, but again, when he threatens to bring in the National Guard, when anybody can see with their own eyes, whether you're in person or on television, this is the most peaceful protest ever. There's been absolutely zero incidents of anything to sort of imply that this is a violent, unruly mob, I think is the first lie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but that he wants that to happen because that then justifies all that he has planned from, moving the National Guard in to run the prisons, to privatizing the prisons, to the really deep cuts that he's planning for local government and schools. I mean, this is not over. Even when we return, we're going to have to work through a real right-wing attack on our communities and our public services and what government does for our communities, what we do as a people to help each other.
Right. Well, I mean, and it seems like, again, you got to start with the facts and the truth. And that's the other thing Governor Walker's been saying is, oh, a lot of these people aren't from here. It's like, well, clearly the Tea Party people are the ones that aren't from there and are being bussed in now, how many days later?
Paid. That's the other thing we're hearing. They're being paid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when clearly these are largely, he's like, oh, yes, the unions are paying to bust these people in. I mean, these are clearly primarily people from Wisconsin, working people.
Mm-hmm. And they've been contacting all of our offices. I think I've had 13,000 people contact me in the last week, and that's almost more than I've had in the 4 years I've been senator.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. Listen, I want to send you a pizza. Where are you right now? What's your address?
Oh,
just kidding. I'm just testing you to make sure you
send it to my Capitol office. They would be most grateful. And I do want to tell you that you have quite a few fans in our world. My chief of staff, Linda Kleinsman, who helped set this up, and Senator Dave Hansen is right here with me, and he sent his regards.
Aww. You send a big hug from Mama to everybody, and thanks for what you're doing, and thanks so much for taking time for us.
You bet.
All right. Thank you. State Senator Kathleen Vinehout joins
wow.
us from Schlargensberg.
Secret undisclosed location.
Schlargensberg.
The Days Inn in Schaumburg. Let's just say that.
All right. Now put the candle back. That's why I picture her as behind a bookcase. That
Listen to me very carefully.
And then
put
she just
the candle back.
And then she just comes out to take the call. And then she goes back behind the bookcase. All right.
Secret underground lair.
Rick, my right-wing love muffin in San Antonio, says I whine too much. Rick! No, I don't. No, I don't.
What I'm saying is that the way you're talking and most of these people are talking about how this is being forced through and it's so unfair.
Yes.
Sounds like when the healthcare bill was shut
Oh, for the love of God, they debated that. We debated that since the beginning of time, Rick. They allowed, scads and scads of Republican amendments.
Yep.
How long did it take? It was a year and a half?
That's
you call
right.
that ramming something through?
It wasn't really debated. It was told you're going to have it.
No. It was debated.
Never agreed, never wanted it, and it was. So you did drag it on for a long time, but eventually.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
So did we drag it on or did we ram it through? Which is it?
Yeah.
Once you dragged it on, once it was done, then you ran it through because it wasn't really something
right.
the public wanted.
Is it wrong to say that I think sex with Rick might not be good?
Yeah.
I could be wrong. If you don't know the difference between ramming it through or dragging it on, then yeah, you know.
That was almost
right.
too easy. I feel
was,
sorry
I mean, you know
for
what?
Rick.
I'm a chick, and there was way too much foreplay in the healthcare debate. 47. I mean, we like it, but sometimes it's like, come on, let's get to it now.
Or, ow, you're on my hair.
Exactly. 46 minutes after the hour, right back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Girlfriend, things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh. Hey. Things that make you go ooh. Things that make you go ooh.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. That was hilarious, the Democratic State Senator chuckling over Governor Walker's fireside chat
yeah.
today. See, it's funny, because FDR was, first of all, liberal, big union guy.
Yeah.
And he's only having a fireside chat because he can't go anywhere near the Capitol because it's a little loud. With President's Day yesterday, that's kind of funny. And also what I was telling the senator, the party of Lincoln, they've neglected who else did this, fled the Capitol to avoid a vote. Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln.
And I'm just picturing him. He actually did jump out a second-story window. I mean, you know, and that's hard in that hat. Not that he didn't do that a lot when, he was sleeping with a guy and Mary Todd got home. What? I'm just saying there's speculation, historically speaking.
What, Mary or Todd?
I think she might have been a dude, don't you think? What kind of woman's middle name is Todd?
She was a handsome woman.
She was a dude. Yes, Republican politicians and conservative commentators have lambasted the state senators all week for their supposed dereliction of duty. Those in the party of Lincoln should look to Lincoln.
That's right.
Before they criticize the Wisconsin Democrats. Indeed, 170 years before the Wisconsin Democrats fled Madison to deny a quorum, then state senator Representative Abraham Lincoln was fleeing the Capitol in Springfield via a window, no less, to do the same in an attempt to save the State Bank of Illinois. The Whigs, you know how the Whigs were.
Oh,
do you think he said, you better watch it or you're going to go the way of the Whigs? What? Wait a minute. Anyway, the Whigs tried to counter by leaving the Capitol before the vote, but the doors were locked. That's when Lincoln made his move. He headed for the second story, opened a window, and jumped to the ground. Lincoln's efforts failed, sadly.
Oh.
It's probably it took that long to get that hat out the window. The tactic of quorum avoidance by simply leaving dates back to at least the days when the U.S. Constitution was being debated. Take that, teabaggers, you constitutional conservative, blah, blah, blah.
What, did Ben Franklin go out a window when he wasn't getting his way on the Declaration of Independence?
vid in Madison. Listen, I want to jump out the window some mornings when I take calls from right-wingers like that last guy.
Yeah, but we're four stories up. That would be a little bit.
Vid.
Hello.
I vid in Madison. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention a couple things that are not getting any traction. One is that the highest state paid employees are the managers and the supervisors who are not represented by a union. Now, to be fair, they're going to be taking the same cuts, but they're not represented by the union. It's not unions that are giving them those high pays, and many of those are gubernatorial appointees. Those are the highest paid ones because they're the administrators.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The other thing the bill does is it doubles the number of gubernatorial appointees so that Walker can put in his cronies. And then the third thing that I wanted to mention was that it allows for the no-bid sale of the state heating plants.
Oh, I know. There's 144 pages of stuff in there that you might want to take a little look-see at. Mm. And he continues to try to divide and conquer even among unions. What does this mean? He's like, oh, private sector unions are fine.
In this budget repair bill, it is maintained for the base salary. And if we were ultimately about attacking the unions, we'd be doing something to the private unions. I don't have any interest in doing anything to the private unions. Mm. I think the private unions are a key part to getting the state's economy going. I welcome working with them. This bill and our measure has nothing to do with private unions.
Divide and conquer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's classic. By the way, I am thinking, here's what I'm thinking. I think like, I could get one of those chutes that the JetBlue guy had. So I could technically jump out that window if I had a chute and some beers. It's a, you know.
It's still a little high.
For instance, if I have to talk to Billy in Texas.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Billy.
Good morning,
good
Stephanie.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good to hear. Listen, you know, by what mechanism did we make a deal with these unions?
By what mechanism? It's called the structure of how these things are done everywhere. This is how you make deals.
You mean like making laws and things like that that people vote on, like the state legislatures? And now that the political lineup mm-hmm. has changed, the Democrats leave the state. That's the most gutless thing I've ever heard of.
Really? I guess Abraham Lincoln was gutless as well.
If he did that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, would you say that the ends justify the means?
Listen, Billy, this is the only choice they felt they had. The governor has made is very clear that he is not negotiating or listening to anybody. This isn't how government runs generally.
They have a job, and not doing their job is not participating.
Well,
in the
how do you,
process.
Billy? How do you ignore 70,000 people in a Capitol protesting something? Do you get any at all? Why there's so much protest against this?
I don't think anybody's ignored them. They're certainly getting their share of props from you.
Well, it's not. It's not just me. It's around the world.
It's changed.
Right, and the unions have said things have changed. We're willing to make concessions. The governor is not making any concessions.
You don't care about the rules. I mean, and now
I don't care about the rules.
People are not paying attention the way you want them to pay attention to these protesters. They're saying, yeah, you got a right to protest. That doesn't mean we have to change our minds about what we're going to do. And the governor is standing firm and showing himself to be a leader, and I respect him for it.
Really?
Billy, it sounds like
it
sounds like you don't like the rules either, so you're trying to change them. You don't like the collective bargaining rules.
If they are changed, sir, by the legal
No, they're not being changed. Voting. They're being decimated forever by this governor.
That's not my opinion. That is a fact,
that
sir.
That is your opinion. And it's being done by law, guys. And
if for it, God's sake. This is the problem. This is how Republicans are. Like you just, it's like in the middle of dodgeball going, no, those rules are just gone now. Now I can hit you right between the eyes and I win. Remember, there was at least some rules at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hit someone in the head with the ball in dodgeball. It's like, well, you can, yes, you can decimate the dodgeball rules forever. That doesn't make it fair. All right. I don't know why I always have dodgeball flashbacks.
Yeah, you were traumatized as a child.
I had a very traumatized Catholic childhood. 58 minutes.
Wait, you had to play dodgeball in that skirt?
Yes.
Did you really?
Yes. Oh. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Charlie Pierce and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Charlie Pierce coming up. Charlie Pierce owes me such a debt.
Why
is that?
Do
you know why, Jim? Because he won a Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me this week. Why?
Why?
Because he knew about the Harry Balls building.
That's right.
Because yes. of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wait, wait, don't tell me.
It was on the radio.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Hey, look, Jim Ward, Voice Deity, is here. You can email him at thestephaniemiller.com, too, you know. Or me, or the Crystal Boy. Chris in Yankton writes, hey, guys, it is kind of a Lucy episode. Hi, guys. Steph's house is collapsing now. Is her life officially becoming a Lucy sketch? Ah, oh, Ricky, the raccoons tore down the gazebo and the porch collapsed and then the kitchen flooded. Wah! Let me know when Steph takes the job at the candy factory.
Yeah.
Chris in Yankton.
Thank Next,
you.
You're going to start herding chickens in your kitchen.
I do have various contractors on speed dial. That's basically, that's mostly who I talk to all day.
Vitamita Vegemin going to be a sponsor of the show?
Should be. Norma Roofer had to come back out yesterday. He missed a couple spots.
I saw.
My new future husband is going to be Wes. Wes from deckpro.org, I believe, out here in L.A. Yeah, well, I think we're going to have him on because my deck is holding. It's the only thing in my life that works. The deck, I have a new elastomeric deck, and that's holding. And now he's fixing a leaking wall that he wasn't even supposed to fix. And now he's fixing that. All right.
Wow.
So far, so good. Everything's holding except for, you know what? Oh, in my office?
Yeah.
You know where it's been raining?
Yes.
Thank God I had Carbonite. They've punched holes in the wall now 3 times, and then we've had to redo it with the, what do you call that stuff, Jim? The drywall and the paint. Yeah. Because they didn't fix it because the leak was coming from somewhere else.
Oh,
and
boy.
So we've opened up the ceiling. Now this is the third time we've opened up the ceiling and had to redo it with the drywall and the spackle and the
I have two words.
Flavin.
Two words for your next house purchase. New construction.
Yes.
New meaning this century.
Old charm is overrated. Hey, this is something they should have thought of in Wisconsin. Virginia Civic Group elects a dog as president. Wouldn't you be happier now if you'd elected a dog instead of Governor Wanker?
Instead of a horse's ass?
Running for president, Ms. Bertha Lee, was described as a relatively new resident, interested in neighborhood activities in the outdoors, who had experience in Maine overseeing an estate of 26 acres. The state that Lee headed, or the slate that she headed, was unanimously elected. Everyone ate ice cream, watched a karate demonstration, and went home. Only weeks later did they discover the new president was, in fact, a dog. Not the story about a dog.
Sorry, you had a dog.
He's a shaggy, dirty, white Wheaton Terrier.
And now, back to the cat.
A terrier?
She's a Wheaton Terrier.
Aren't terriers high strung? Isn't that the last person you need in office?
Not any more than Governor Wanker.
Oh, okay.
All right. All right. Teachers in Madison, I think we'll check in with some folks from Madison. They're supposed to return today, a move that could end the district's court fight to force its teachers back to work. The district on Friday sought an injunction, blah, blah. The judge refused to issue a temporary restraining order. She said a hearing for Monday. The hearing was postponed after the teachers union voted to return to work today. So they said teachers will continue to protest, though, after school. So there you go. All right. Wisconsin State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, Republican.
There are some items that are time sensitive that as long as the Democrats sit in Chicago, it's going to be more and more difficult to manage.
Oh, see how he tried to trick them? I knew he knew they were in Chicago. We don't know where they are.
Well, I think it's kind of common knowledge that they're in Rockford.
Did you see that douche nozzle that looks like John Bolton on Chris Matthews' show, Jim?
No.
He was he was getting shouted down. He was just yelling like a crazy man. You got your facts all wrong, Grez! All right, let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steph.
Hi, how you doing? Please, could you please help your staff to delete all the calls from Texas? My brain can't take it this early in the morning. But anyway, did anybody remember when Ronald Reagan busted the airline?
Yeah, air traffic controllers.
Making $15 an hour now and flying 300 people up the air?
Yes. What's your point? Yes. All right, yes, I do remember that. All right, well, thanks.
Yes, it was one of the first things he did when he got into office was break the air traffic controllers union.
Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a restful night at the Capitol, and I just want to say, first of all, that the floor is much like the governor, hard and cold. But there were 427 of us last night, the biggest night yet.
Couldn't you just pull up a bunch of pizzas and sleep on those? Because there's a lot of pizza, right?
We had better than that. We had 50 firefighters we could cuddle with.
Oh, hello now. Now you're talking my language.
Can I say something to these teabaggers, this party line that's calling in today? You know, instead of beating down on the people who make our communities work, and most of them live a modest living, and a lot of them work part-time jobs to make up for the last 30 years, and instead you're going to defend a king who we pay $1,600 a month in taxes for his new SUV and $252,000 a year for his vacant mansion, which he'll be afraid to live in, of course, after all of this.
Yeah. I know. Mike, is it just me? When I was listening to, I guess, Limbaugh the other day, calling you guys freeloaders, I'm like, what? Since when are regular working people freeloaders? These are hardworking people.
Let me say something about Rush Limbaugh. Calling people bottom feeders?
Yeah.
You know, coming from the fattest carp in the land, I would say that you know a lot about bottom feeding.
And people in Wisconsin know from carp.
Yeah, boy howdy.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, and we know about the fattest people in the land.
You're governor for one.
Oh, stop now with the governor jokes. Come on.
Yeah, well, on a more serious note, I got some really good news coming from New Jersey, and it's nothing about Snucky, but... And I am here on the Jersey Shore. That caller that was thinking about getting rid of all the public service workers.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that the working class is missing about the unions and just not recognizing, and they really shouldn't. I think it's because they took civics out of our classroom, and then we wound up with Snuckies.
Yep.
The unions.
Listen, I do want to say one good thing about your governor. He was really, really good as Bobby in Sopranos, and I think that that's not mentioned well enough.
Yes, he did.
Pardon me?
He most definitely did.
Yes.
What an actor.
Yes.
But the union set a baseline. Not only did they, you know, ensure that we have workers' rights, but it's a baseline of pay. It's not the ceiling. It's the baseline.
Yeah.
So that woman calling in thinking that she, you know, didn't get a pension and she has to pay into her health insurance, the truth of the matter is that she'd be making less if it weren't for unions. And the other thing that the unions do that the Republicans want to get out of the way, they don't have much money to get as much money as certainly after Citizens United, the corporations and the multinational corporations have to give, but they do get out the vote. So without the unions, all these idiots that are screaming about the two-party system, we'll be left with a one-party system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's exactly what this is about. A permanent Republican majority. That's all this is about. Let's go to Don in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
Morning, gang.
Good morning.
On Wisconsin.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to give a little perspective as a person who is a public sector employee, who is a union person. I work for the Postal Service, and I'm really proud of what I do, and I think that most people who are union workers are. But I think
we're proud of you, too. Don't go postal on us now.
Wouldn't dream of it. But I think people who are calling in and acting as if they're jealous of all the union people, and why do they make so much money? What they fail to realize is that if there weren't people still making good wages in America, the meager wages that they're making would be even less, because we're the only ones who can still afford the goods and services that they're putting out. And, you know, we are in this together. Nobody wants to really admit that or look at it that way. But, you know, if it weren't for those, whether they're union or not, who are making good money, or who are at least comfortable enough to buy stuff that they don't necessarily have to.
You know, it was interesting. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Bill Clinton special last night on MSNBC, but, you know, it did remind you of, you know, remember the whole rising tide lifts all boats.
Absolutely.
You know, we were all doing pretty well when Clinton was in. I mean, that's the thing I don't get is just it's just this, they run the same play every time. You know, fearmonger, divide and conquer.
Well, the reason they want to get rid of the unions is because they're the only ones who cough up money to help support Democrats. We don't have corporate sugar daddies like, you know, the Koch brothers.
Don't I know it. Okay.
except George Soros, who writes this.
Yes, who apparently I get huge checks from all the time. Dave in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Going back to the Ronald Reagan and Patco.
Yes.
I'm an 81er. I was a Patco guy that was let go. And it looks like what this Republican governor is doing is the same thing that Reagan's people did in 80. They came to Patco looking for an endorsement, which they got, and I believe that they made certain promises. And as soon as we came to them looking for, you know, what they said they were going to do, they basically let us go. And there's more to it than that, but we've been working without a contract for 2 years, and he still refused to negotiate, which forced us out the door. But I guarantee you, the police and fire from Milwaukee, as soon as their contract was up and they started to negotiate, this guy's going to turn on them in a heartbeat.
Well, Dave, interesting you're calling from Detroit, because I thought, boy, you know, the auto industry, there's a perfect example, right? I mean, unions gave concession after concession. They blamed, once again, they blamed everything on unions. Well, you know, what a success story we've gotten. Detroit GM is back. You know, we're getting our money back with interest. I mean, it's a great American success story. And in that case, workers not only, you know, gave concessions, now the industry's back. They're innovating and winning again.
Well, yeah. I mean, the sad part of it is that, you know, unemployment in Michigan still, I think, is over 13.5%.
Yeah, well, and think how much higher it would be if the whole auto industry had gone under the president.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I understand that, but they still haven't closed the loopholes to reward companies for shipping jobs out of here.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the things that was in Obama's platform.
I mean, the headline this morning, Dave, I'm looking at, which I think we all know this, but, I mean, the study says most corporations pay no U.S. income taxes. I mean, you know, you're fighting to take away some dimes from teachers in Wisconsin, and, you know, that's the headline. Most U.S. and foreign corporations doing business in the U.S. avoid paying any federal income taxes despite trillions of dollars of worth of sales, a government study released.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's the unions. It's teachers' fault. Money grubbers buying too expensive the pencils. That's the problem.
Yeah, they're buying those number two pencils, and they should just be buying the number one pencils.
Yeah.
They should buy the negative one pencils. They're really cheap.
You think you have fancy pants.
Oh, and they want sharpeners for the pencils, too.
Oh, now they're grubby.
Just use your teeth. The way we did it when I was growing up.
Lord.
And walk uphill to school both ways in the snow. Call their broken glass.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Meeting from 7 to 3, 7 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Happy Election Day in Chicago, everybody.
Yeah.
If you haven't voted several times already, you're late. That's a joke about voting.
It's because you did.
25 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12.
So if Rahm Emanuel is right now has about 49% of the vote in latest polls.
Yeah.
And he needs 50% of the vote
to avoid a runoff,
To avoid a runoff. So, this ought to be interesting today.
Yes. All right. Meanwhile, across the border in Madison, Marty, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, my name's Marty. I'm a small business owner here in Madison.
Yes.
And all these people, Scott Walker's thinking of cutting all their wages. These are my customers. So he's not creating jobs.
Right.
He's killing small
businesses.
Thank you. See, this is my point, Marty, about a rising tide lifts all boats. You see, we're all interconnected in this magical world.
We just cut spending and the jobs will naturally appear.
Yeah, that's what they never get about this, you know, unemployment insurance. It's not only mean cutting it in a, you know, this kind of economy.
It's counterproductive.
That's the most stimulative money you can spend. They go spend that money and help the rest of us.
Yes. Right.
Jobs. What about the jobs? The taverns. Oh, God.
Gary in Madison. Hi, Gary.
Hey. Now, have you heard last night Rachel Maddow? Did a great expose on Walker trying this before when he was a county supervisor in Milwaukee.
Yep.
Yeah, he fired the county security guards because of this great financial crisis. He did it over the objections of the board. He then replaced these guards with non-union workers from a subsidiary of Wagon Hut. He then appointed the security chief with a criminal record.
Hey, I think I started my comedy career at the Wagon Hut. I don't remember.
Hey, guys, I'm so fired up I can hardly talk.
Yep.
But an arbitrator concluded last month that this was all bogus. The security guards got their jobs back. And so, you guys, we've got to stand up.
Yep, I hear you. Exactly. Stand up for your rights. By the way, I mentioned some little fun facts.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin's budget deficit, as we've mentioned, again, crisis, Jim, all in the eye of the beholder.
Hmm.
Some people might call my personal life a crisis. And, you know.
Some people might be right.
Yes. anyway, it's the deficit far from the nation's largest. They have a budget problem, like a lot of states. A problem, small one, compared to the leading deficit-distressed states. 12.8% of the state's total budget is what the projected deficit is. You compare that to Nevada at 45.2%, Texas at 31.5%. Isn't that run by that fiscal conservative Rick Perry?
Yeah.
Editorial comment for the unions are the problem enthusiasts. Nevada and Texas do not have collective bargaining for state workers. So I wonder what caused those enormous deficits.
I'm stumped.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just facts are facts. They're stubborn things. Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. I wanted to make mention of the same thing the guy did before. And also in Milwaukee County, they had to pay back wages, everything for these guys. They've had to hire back those county employees that he messed with. I wanted to also say, here in Michigan, there's a push to make individual cities right-to-work cities. So no unions can be in these cities, and that's not just for private industry. They're kind of doing this with school boards and city workers, too. So it's a more subtle approach than what, Walker's doing, but it's basically going to do the same thing here in Michigan.
Yeah, no, that's exactly why this is such a big deal. It's a 15-state power grab by Republicans, at least. That's what's at stake here. 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We need to discuss our problem with
Stephanie Miller.
Her little habit of personal amusement is getting way out of hand.
34 minutes after the hour. It's Tuesday, everybody.
There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Wah, wah, wah. No, listen, I know, Charlie, you want to thank me for winning Wait, Don't Tell Me this week. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely, because if I hadn't been paying attention to the news, I would never have known this.
Yes.
But, it's weird. I think Muammar Gaddafi's in my backyard under an umbrella.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that video yesterday?
That was weird.
Like one of those, like mafia dons who's, like, pretending to be nuts so he won't have to go to prison. I think he was in a drive-thru lane at a Jack-in-the-Box, actually.
Yeah, that was just weird. A hat, an umbrella, and in a car.
That was a very strange piece of video right there.
No, that was weird. So, no, you won because you knew about the Harry Balls building in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
And I've done further research into that.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire Balls family is very disappointed at what happened.
Really?
Yeah. His nephew, Big Purple Swollen, is really in bad shape.
Uh-huh. All right, Charlie, now...
that, by the way, was a joke that didn't make air.
you actually told that and they cut it out?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
That's awesome.
we're not NPR over here.
Right.
This is where you come slumming.
You know what I discovered this week that I didn't realize? That Governor Scott Walker, our 18th century... He failed to attain the degree that I got.
Really?
Really?
He dropped out of my alma mater.
Yeah, I hear that there was a cheating problem, and there was allegedly.
Well, I mean, I have to admit, the Marquette University alumni, jungle drums have been beating rumors out furiously for about 3 months. I can't prove anything either way, but I do know that he left without his degree, which
yes.
I did not, by the way.
Yeah, listen.
That's my best efforts. I actually got the degree. But I was in journalism school, so I had to, like, you know, mow lawns and stuff to fill out my requirements.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
So, Charlie Pierce, how do you think this is playing out in Madison? I mean, it really...
I think Governor, I couldn't get the degree that Charlie Pierce got, walked himself into a corner, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought it was significant the other day when the Republican head of the state Senate said, no, we're not going to take a vote until the Democrats come back. Because there was some talk about them finding some parliamentary finagling they could do
right.
to pass this thing anyway. And I think he's out there by himself right now.
Well,
in a lot of ways, you can understand why the forces behind him are doing this because it's Wisconsin. But because it's Wisconsin, that's an adult portion of progressive politics.
Yeah. Well, facts, as we say all the time, are stubborn things. And we were just talking about this study that just came out saying, which a lot of us already know, that most corporations pay no U.S. income taxes. Byron Dorgan said their report is a shocking indictment of the current tax system.
Where's Byron Dorgan been for 20 years?
Yeah, Levin said it made it clear too many corporations are using tax trickery to send their profits overseas, avoid paying their fair share in the U.S., yada, yada.
What?
But my point is, you know, according to the Department of Revenue in Wisconsin, two-thirds of the corporations in the state pay no taxes. And the share of corporate tax revenue funding state operations has fallen by half since 1981. And I think people are just not buying it that, oh, suddenly this is the union's fault.
Right. I think if I had to bet on which way it was going to go, some sort of compromise like the one that's already on the table is going to be how they finish this.
Yeah, but this is a new breed, these teabaggers, aren't they? They're not compromising.
I think there are enough recalcitrant people to string it out for another couple of weeks. But I mean, the one presiding thing about Scott Walker is he wants to continue being governor.
Right.
And if he loses everything on this one, which it's impossible for me to see how he can do that given the legislative majorities. He's a one-term governor, and dare I say it, the recall provisions in the Wisconsin law are very simple.
Yeah,
they're nothing like California.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, as you say, he's painted himself into a really unreasonable corner when you've got the union saying, okay, we'll agree to the concessions that you want financially. I mean, there is no way to justify taking away their collective bargaining rights.
Yeah, I do think there are people in his ear telling him to stand strong. This is the way you could become a national figure in the party, and I think that's what's tearing him up a little bit.
Oh well, that's the headline this morning. Republican presidential hopefuls rally behind Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Is there a Republican presidential hopeful on that list that you would trust to park your car? I mean, this isn't exactly the cream of the party right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Chris Christie, who's supposed to be the latest, you know, hot beltway favorite, loses his own stake to Barack Obama by 20 points.
Yeah, I know. Why is he thought of as this, you know, sure thing, this star in the Republican Party? Ann Coulter is like, we have to run him or we lose.
Well, she says that because she's nuts. But the other folks, the David Gregorys of the world, I mean, they long for a daddy, basically. And he gets up there and he says tough things to people who are essentially powerless, and nothing gets the villagers more turgid than that, basically.
Yeah. How many times do I need to see that clip about you're going to have to raise the retirement age? Oh, I said it. There, I didn't vaporize into the friggin' carpet there. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, do I have to see that clip again? It's
yeah, you'll,
like, okay.
you'll see it quite a bit, I'm sure.
Yeah. So that seems to be like, you know, what is going to happen on the Republican side? I mean, I don't.
Generally, I don't have the faintest idea.
I mean, in presidential race.
I mean, Mitt's time may come. I mean, he's got a couple of advantages. He's got a lot of money, and he's got an organization already in place.
And he looks like clip art.
He's got a lot of problems. Why he insists on pandering to that slice of the party that there are seven people fighting over now, I have no idea. I mean, he's one of the great political maladroits of all time.
Yeah.
If you give him a 14 course meal, he'll take it out in the backyard and play with it, basically.
I don't know what that means, but it's funny.
No, now, I mean, if you give him any advantage, Right. And he will bungle it away somehow, trying to get the support of people who have no intention of voting for him.
Yeah.
Either because he's, you know, he was the governor of the state of gay marriage and Obamacare, or because he wears magic underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, he has two enormous problems with that, with mm-hmm. the part of the party he seems to insist on romancing, and I don't know who's advising him, but I think they're wrong.
Now, by the way, Congressman Craigslist, what's his name? Chris Lee?
Chris Lee.
See, here we go again.
Christopher Lee, the former Dracula.
Not that guy. The shirtless guy. So they got them a Tea Party fight.
The shirtless guy who takes his own picture with his own cell phone?
Yeah.
He belongs on guyswithiphones.com.
Am I the only one that when I first saw that picture, I'm like, what's he doing with that one hand? Oh, and he was just flexing. I was like, well, what's he holding?
He's building a building in Terre Haute.
Anyway, the seven Republican county chairmen in New York's 26th district were set to vote. I don't know if they did or not on the nominee to replace him, but a Tea Party group was trying to throw a wrench into that schedule. Tea New York is the name of their group. They want them to hold off, you know, because they don't know if they're concocting
a candidate in their laboratory.
Yes, they don't know if some of those candidates are teabaggy enough. They said they might run a third party candidate if they don't like whoever they pick.
Well, the first thing they should do is establish their criteria, which in this case would be a fat, hairy celibate.
The letter attacks State Assemblywoman Jane Corwin, who is perceived as one of the front runners. She got an endorsement from Carl Paladino, who apparently now is not crazy and teabaggy enough for Tea
well,
Party
I think,
New York.
I think the problem with Carl Paladino is that he lost. I don't think they particularly disagree with him on the issues any more than they did before the election, but he lost. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like Rick Lazio. I just saw Rick Lazio on TV this morning.
Ugh.
You know, you talk about a non-person. This is the guy who lost to the Hildebeest. there's no way he ever gets a cup of coffee in Republican politics again.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Luckily, there's Morning Joe. the rescue mission for failed politicians. fighting with Harold Ford over a blanket in the last cot.
But Charlie, yeah. It's just here. That's the question. How crazy and teabaggy do you have to be? I mean, what's going to happen with this budget showdown? Because I just think that this is not the same breed of people anymore. Like, I mean, they are not compromising, whether it's Scott Walker or whether it's, you know, the Tea Party in Congress right now. I was about to say,
I think it's pretty plain that the Speaker doesn't have his caucus under control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in every sense of the word, by the way. But, you know, I mean, I think they're spoiling for the shutdown, and I think they're going to get one.
Right.
And I wonder whether or not, and here we go. Now Stephanie and I are not going to be friends again anymore. I wonder if this White House is as adroit as the Clinton White House was to be able to come out of a shutdown ahead.
Well, that's what everybody is saying is, you know, this also is a different time in that sense that, you know, people are more concerned about the deficit. And you're right. It's anybody's guess how this is going to play out politically this time.
Yeah, here's my economic philosophy. Right,
Newt Gingrich had the advantage of being a great big baby. it came off like he shut down the government out of pique.
As opposed to the Clint Eastwood character we have in there now.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, you know, the whole thing about not being able to having to sit in the back of Air Force One.
Sit in the back of the plane.
Well, I think you know, I think the real power in this whole thing is going to be, you know, Congressman Pompadour again from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's going to be calling the shots on this one. I'm absolutely sure. He is a policy intellectual, you know, just ask him. Forget the fact that he got his haircut from a Bobby V starter kit.
Yeah. Well,
nobody remembers Bobby V. That would have been a funny joke in 1959.
Wow, so you really are. You're guessing we're going to get a government shutdown. Huh?
Oh, I think they're spoiling for it. I don't think there's any way to avoid it right now. I mean, and I think the only ways to avoid it are options you can't take.
Well, that's not what that nice Paul Ryan says.
We're not looking for a government shutdown, and I think we'll have some negotiations with short-term extensions with spending cuts in the interim, is my guess.
That's what Eddie Munster says.
You know how you can tell Paul Ryan is not really telling the truth? Because he's talking really fast.
Well, we will see. We shall see, Charlie Pierce.
Well, are you going to go to the Hollywood premiere of the Atlas Shrugged movie?
Oh, God.
Yeah, because I saw that.
I have a thing with a guy.
What a crowd that will be. Nobody will pay for the concessions. It'll be great. Everybody will be in the lobby making their own slushies.
Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe.
You're not being objective, Charlie.
Yeah.
See you next week.
All right, see you next week. There he goes, Charlie Pierce. Author of Idiot America.
Interesting article on Daily Coast about the view of what's really going on here.
Well, we will come back with that in just a moment. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Although,
what? Now you tell me.
Although in this economy,
yeah, be a lot more
trust
cash
me,
in
you
it
don't know what Mama's been up to. You don't know what I do to keep this train running.
You've been turning on the red light. You really have.
That's a little behind the scenes joke between you and me.
I know.
It's funny because it's true. Okay, you didn't know what we're talking about, no, Jim, but I'll tell you that during the break. 1-800-STEP-1. For toll free from anywhere. You kids don't know what I work, what I go through. Okay.
You like what I serve up.
All right. I'll just keep.
You're sharp, you'll take
it. You know how long I've been in labor with this show, you ungrateful little bastards. All right. Here are some fun facts about the situation in Wisconsin. By the way, Andy Stern, I believe, wrote this, former president of SEIU. Mm-hmm. You got to go right to the facts on this. Wall Street created the fiscal crisis, not unions. He wrote a great piece about this. Public sector pension plans are not the problem. Such pension plans, both public and private, work just fine when governed by math and not wishful thinking.
Right.
When officials fail to make, for instance, the required contributions on time, actuarial calculations turn the process into a fiscal Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
As I keep pointing out, not the union's fault the way this is structured. This is the way this was negotiated originally in mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Ironically, Wisconsin's retirement fund was praised for a series of responsible features in its pension design, leaving the program nearly 100% funded with the average new worker's pension at $1,900 a month. As we pointed out over and over, the exemption of police and fire unions undermines Walker's claims. Police and fire unions, which have some of the most expensive benefits, but who supported Mr. Walker's campaign for governor, are exempted.
Oh,
and by the way,
sure, that's a coincidence.
Yelly guy on Chris Matthews. That is largely true, because a couple of unions might not have supported him. Largely, that is true. The assault on workers' rights is a Republican cause. Why is Wisconsin, with a better budget and pension picture than most states and with workers prepared to make financial sacrifices, become the epicenter of a virulent attack on collective bargaining? Consider this. More than 15 other states are facing Republican initiatives to change their teacher, state employee, and local government bargaining laws or private sector right-to-work laws. Coincidence? Accident of fate?
Computer says no.
No, it's happening because of, by choice of Republican elected officials. Obviously, that's what's in common. It's all Republican governors motivated by their contributors and or supporters. This is not a simple Wisconsin issue. It is a 15-state campaign to weaken workers and their organizations' rights in all 15 states. It is being led by Jim Bueller.
The Koch brothers.
No, Republicans. Republicans. Well, yes, and the Koch brothers. That goes without saying that they're Koch suckers. Exempting police and firefighters and requiring changes that undermine a union's legal standing are politically, not fiscally motivated. Thank you. Very good piece. Almost as good as that Urza Klein's piece that I talked about the other day.
It's better than Urza.
But not as good as Ezekiel. Or Ezekiel.
I know it's by Ezra.
The way,
yes.
By the way, Muammar Gaddafi is speaking right now without an umbrella.
Oh, look at him. But he has a jaunty hat on. What's he saying?
And a jaunty scarf. Well,
want to show Libya. They say Libya doesn't want glory, doesn't want revolution.
Why won't anyone
look
send me pizza?
Libya is looking for
hot Swedish
thing.
Nurses.
They say, look at Libya.
Where's my hot Swedish nurse?
Libya wants colonialism. Libya asks for the lawlessness. And you hear from the Green Square, you say Libya wants glory, Libya wants the summit of the world.
By the way, since this is going to be rambly and we won't really know what the hell.
Yeah. We just lost the feed anyway.
Oh, oops. Oh, boy. I wish he had like P. Diddy's umbrella guy come in. Just here's your umbrella handler. Sorry.
Well, I'd rather have Rihanna.
We still don't. I mean, you know, the rumor is that he's in
Venezuela.
The rumor is that he's in Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
And say, he said no. Last night he was in Tripoli.
I am not. But, I am here on the umbrella and
but there
the
was, I mean, there was no way you could tell it was in Tripoli, and there's still no way you can tell he's in Tripoli.
Look, the green screen keeps going out. Where is he? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
The background keeps changing. Wait a minute.
We cannot afford Tripoli. It would have to be scaled down to doubly.
Dave in Illinois. Hi, Dave.
Math humor. Yay.
Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just thought I'd let you guys know I was at a gym Saturday, and they were they had Fox on the TV, which is really good. Mm. And they had a couple talking heads talking, and underneath it, the screen, they had a caption that said, unions versus taxpayers.
Wow. That sums it all up. Exactly.
As if union members aren't taxpayers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. You know, you mentioned the Koch brothers. I think it's kind of funny that Walker was on Fox screaming about how Obama should keep everyone who is coming up here to protest and everything should stay in their own states. Now he doesn't want any outside influence. Huh. But it really doesn't explain why he had the Koch brothers line his pockets with $45,000.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
For his thing. And by the way, I got in trouble for listening to you at work yesterday.
What'd I do?
There was this information slut that came across my stereo.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I am your information slut. That's true.
Yeah, you're an information slut. And my boss just happened to walk by.
She's
my
your
office
information room. Slut.
Yes, and your boss said what?
Just kind of came through and looked at me and said, what? Thought I was saying he was an information slut.
Oh, boy.
I thought it was quite hilarious when I started laughing. I'm like, no, it's the radio. And he's just like, I don't like inappropriate things at work.
Aww.
I beg your pardon. Why, you tell him I said.
You're fired.
That's what I said. I'm like, it's not inappropriate. It's Stephanie Miller. Here, turn it on. She's a great lesbo. You'll like her.
Oh, thank you. Why, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, there was this article in Daily Kos about what's going on.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. Sorry.
Says you're thinking, what, this is about collective bargaining and workers' rights? BS, you are being wagged. As always, this has to do with money, and the union compromise coming down the pipe was set up to be the booby prize while the Koch brothers get their booty prize. This is all being well orchestrated with an endgame that has absolutely nothing to do with unions. So in short, the Koch brothers get their puppet Governor Walker in power. Governor Walker gins up a crisis. Democrats and progressives take the bait and counter-protest on collective bargaining. Walker will compromise in collective bargaining if the rest of the budget is passed as is. Bill passes with Trojan horse giveaway to the Koch brothers invested in. Koch brothers will buy Wisconsin state-owned power plants for pennies on the dollar, which there'll be no oversight, and Koch brothers get the best vertical monopoly.
Well, he's already done that. That's part of why we have this shortfall, Jim. He's already given away a lot of these tax breaks to special interests and businesses like the Koch brothers.
Yeah, they're doing some really nasty, they create really nasty stuff, too.
Paul in Madison. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Anyway, I'm a private sector employee. I'm non-union. My wife is a teacher, though. I'll say that. Two points I want to make. Number one, at no time did Governor Walker ever campaign by saying he was going to end collective bargaining.
Yeah.
Everything that occurred in December before he took office was about how he wanted to renegotiate the union contracts.
He's doing a lot of negotiating, isn't he?
Yeah, right. Secondly, Mark Miller is my representative, and as far as I'm concerned, he's actually representing me doing what he's doing.
Exactly. Like, they're not working. Trust me, they're working. 58 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World, Right Wing Tool, Rich Galen, and much more coming up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! 6 minutes after the hour, Right Wing Tool of Rich Galen coming up. He's had to be the press secretary for Dan Quayle, Jim, and also Newt Gingrich. So when you have to, when you're brave enough to have to do that for the dumbest and the meanest Republicans ever, and brave enough to come on the Stephanie Miller Show, right away we love you.
How can we spin this me leaving several wives thing? I could look.
Is he the one that advised him to shut the government down? I'll have to ask him later this hour. Good job.
What do you think I should do if they make me sit in the back of the plane?
Newt doesn't even need a press secretary. Could he be any cuddlier?
I don't think press secretaries advise people to shut down the government.
Can I just say, and it's not just because we had Chris Matthews on yesterday, but I just love him. I was watching him yesterday, and he was talking about the shutdown in 95, and he's like, well, you know, there's Bill Clinton. He's a big, you know, cuddly guy. And then you got Gingrich looks almost like a gargoyle or something. It's just mean and, you know. All right, StephanieMiller.com.
It definitely does not give me a tingle up my leg.
No, I don't think Newt's ever given anyone any tingle up his leg, even his mistresses.
Since when did Chris Matthews base things on people's looks rather than people's policies?
I don't know. It's just, you know the best. That's the best entertainment in television when he's doing election covers. It gets really late at night.
Yeah.
It's just a,
Both he and Gingrich say America. I think it's a Pennsylvania thing.
Yeah. And then it becomes like a Fellini film. Because he's just tired and he's filling time. And you never know what's going to fly out of his mouth.
And the juggling little people, come in.
Yeah.
Fellini film.
All right. Lots of fun facts to get to about the situation in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Just interesting things that one might or might not know. For instance, how do the earnings of government workers who are union members compare to the earnings of private sector workers? In 2010, median earnings of government workers who were union members were 25% higher than the earnings of private workers. However, two economists at the University of Wisconsin point out that government workers have jobs that demand more education, which is not accounted for by raw averages, although a comparison of unadjusted average earnings will show that wages are higher among jobs in state and local government. This result largely due to the fact that the workers in those sectors have more education. They also concluded that compensation of state and local workers is not excessive, and this remains true when including benefits. People who go into the further pointed out, people who go into the public sector, especially at the highest occupations that require a lot of education, are trading off stability for higher salaries. That is, such highly educated workers could likely make a lot more money in the private sector, but wouldn't enjoy as much job security. So that's all I'm saying, and I just think the point can't be made enough, Jim, that we made a deal with them.
Yep.
This was the deal we made. And part of it is our, instant gratification thing that, well, we want this now, but we don't want to pay for it, so we'll give you this later.
Deal or no deal?
Yes, exactly. And now it's later, and now we're like, we got a welch on our end. How's that working out for you? And they're saying yes. Okay, fine, Governor Walker. We get it. Times are tough. Yada, yada. And that's not what this is about. This is about union busting and a permanent government Republican majority.
Right.
End of story. All right. Rosa in Madison. Let's check in the Cheddar Revolution. Hello, Rosa.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Let me start by saying that I just retired from the Madison Police Department about a month and a half ago. After 27 years. And yes, we are a very educated police department. People choose to work in a public sector for lower wages, better benefits in some cases, but we're very committed to what we do.
Right.
I'm calling because I like to make sure that you guys keep your eyes on Madison, and I just got some information that
I can't keep my eyes off of Madison.
Scott Walker just has about 400 police state troopers staged right now at the Marriott Hotel in Madison, and he's in Middleton, and he's ready to bring them downtown to clear the Capitol before he comes in. So I'm assuming he's trying to force some type of confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there something, a right to peaceably assemble somewhere in some sort of document of ours? I can't remember, Rosa. I think.
But 9/11
we'll see
happened.
What happens. Like I said, all the demonstrations have been very peaceful. Police officers all over the state are backing us. So we'll see what happens today.
Well, and Rosa, it is interesting, isn't it, how, a lot of these comparisons are being made to things happening even in the Middle East, whether it's in Egypt or whatever. I mean, obviously, the Egyptian unions, this was a lot about unions in Egypt as well. So, I mean, and it's interesting. It just, that's why, that was a joke, but when somebody did the website, Mini Mubarak, when he threatened to bring in the National Guard, when nobody is being violent, right? I mean, I'm told a lot of police officers are kind of, saying, look, we're not going to turn against our own citizens.
We are for labor, and we have been up there at the Capitol with the teachers, with the firefighters. We're not here to break, you know, the budget. We are here because we want to do this, our work that we do, and we recognize that we have to make sacrifices, and we have been making sacrifices.
And I hear the police have even thanked the protesters for being so polite and nice and neat. Yeah.
Oh, yes. My husband is a firefighter, and he spent the night at the Capitol last night. There hasn't been any violence, and there's no...
No, and the solidarity, Rosa, has really been one of the most beautiful things to watch. It really is amazing.
The other thing I like to say, I got a copy of the bill, and the first page of the bill, what you see, is collective bargaining.
Yep. Yeah, it's exactly...
So that's what he's going after.
All right. Rosa, thanks so much. We appreciate
it.
Keep fighting that good fight. Yeah. A fine American in Egypt, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Leader of the Egyptian unions to Wisconsin protesters. We stand with you as you stood with us.
Hmm.
One of the most underreported stories of the pro-democracy movement in Egypt was the role of labor unions in the demonstrations, many of which were protesting against neoliberal right-wing economic policies just as much as they were protesting against the Mubarak dictatorship. AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka said the people's movement for democracy in Egypt and the role unions are playing for freedom and worker rights inspires us and will not be forgotten. Now, a leader of Egypt's largest umbrella group of independent labor unions praising this Wisconsin movement. He said, "We stand with you as you stood with us." He says, "No one believed that the revolution against the Mubarak regime would succeed, yet they were able to bring the dictator down in 18 days. He encourages demonstrators to stay strong, saying, don't give up on your rights. Victory always belongs to the people who stand firm and demand their rights." Ian's Pizza, who is, that must look like the candy factory in I Love Lucy, for God's sakes. They've been taking orders from Egypt for Wisconsin activists following Walker's threat to call in the National Guard. That's when the mini Mubarak website went up. But interesting, isn't it? Even who knows what the hell's going on in Gaddafi land over there. But I don't know if you heard that, Jim. Like two fighter jets like went to another, another country and asked for asylum. They wouldn't fire on their own people. I mean, it's this is what happens with the power of the people when they refuse to turn on each other.
And of course, the righties would say we should thank George Bush for that.
So, yes, that's what I was getting to.
And,
what?
And by the way, it did not rain in Tripoli yesterday, so why Gaddafi was carrying an umbrella, we will never know.
It's just the weirdest.
I think he's just a Rihanna fan.
Rihanna. Umbrella. Ella. Ella.
All right, let's dive into the equally odd right-wing world, shall we, kids? In our little alternate reality. Rush Limbaugh, my friends, on the freeloaders.
Bottom line is the reason that they want to unionize public employees, is that's how you get around having to hire good people.
Oh,
and it's
I
how
see.
You get around not having to get rid of failing or underperforming people.
Is it just me or did anyone listen to him yesterday? What does he make a year, Chris?
$1 billion.
So, exactly. I don't know what. 40? Who can even count what he makes?
$40 million over.
$40 million a year, or something. Yeah, and he was like, I don't take handouts, my friends. I don't want to feel obligated. I pay for what I need. It's like, oh, shut up. Of course you do.
$11 billion a minute.
Exactly.
For spewing that garbage.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And meanwhile, I got to turn on the red light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Roxanne.
Stuart
Your minions, thank you for that, by the way.
Stuart Varney on the Fox Business Channel.
So how is it exactly Republicans will be blamed for a shutdown? I honestly don't get
what?
This. The Republicans were elected. Everybody knew they were going to cut spending. They come up with a modest $61 billion worth of spending cuts.
Wow.
The Senate Democrats don't accept that. They're the ones, surely, who are going to shut the government down by not accepting legitimate Republican demands for cutting spending.
No.
Bending over.
Shut the government down. They will not pay a price. They may well get the credit.
Ah, I see. Yes. They need to just bend over. What do you mean? How is it not modest?
How is that shutting down the government?
Oh, it's like nuclear winter. These cuts. It's... Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
The world is on fire.
Oh, for the love of God.
Revolution is coming.
Blah, blah,
Who
blah.
Is putting it together?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because this is not uncoordinated.
Ah.
You have the unions.
Mm-hmm. The unions.
Mm, are all coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, but it's time for everyone to pay their fair share.
Mm-hmm.
To pay for some.
Mm-hmm.
Of what they receive.
Uh-huh. which they've agreed to do in Wisconsin, and the governor is nowhere. Do you think he has cue cards, Chris, both for radio and television, where it's the same script every day and they just like fill in different words?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
You know
world
who these
is
people are
either on fire, or
threatening the world,
and or coming to an end, and then various
it's the Fabian socialists.
And it's the Shriners. I'm waiting for that conspiracy. Yeah. The Shriner conspiracy.
Have you ever noticed they wear fezes?
Muammar Gaddafi wears
a
funny
hat.
He wears a funny hat.
Wonder when
I think he should come out in an umbrella hat next, don't you?
Wonder when the Masons will get thrown under the bus.
17.
James Mason.
No, not James Mason.
Mason Adams.
Not Mason Adams either.
I think this all Mason comes back to James Mason somehow.
Yes, it always does.
It's a good idea.
Tomorrow during Hump Days with Hal, we need to have Hal and Jim do a James Mason off.
Okay. And then Ruth Gordon somehow gets in the mix. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Shout out.
Stephanie Miller.
Shout out Gaddafi. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Brian in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Can I be the official communication professor of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Go ahead.
So over Saturday, I was looking for some coverage of the protests, and of course, MSNBC is leaning forward with their prison documentaries.
Yeah.
CNN has got some movie reviewer on who's loving Big Mama. I don't know about that.
What? Really? There was a movie reviewer that actually liked Big Mama?
She thought it was funny because he was dressed up as a woman.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I flip over to Fox, which I try not to do, and they toss it to some shill reporter out in the crowd in Madison, and I noticed the one thing. He has no Fox Mike flag, no Fox jacket or any identification on, never uses the phrase Fox News, and interviews two people who, of course, are against the protests and think the unions are awful and that. But
yes, of course.
It was hilarious because he never reported to the standard out cue of, Joe Schmo, Fox News Channel.
Right.
And I'm sure it's in reaction to what happened on Friday when they had the crowd started chanting Fox Lies behind Jeff Flock, their reporter out there.
Yeah, not a friendly crowd for the Fox News.
No, and of course they found two people who had gotten doctor's excuses because they said, oh, there's a doctor handing out excuses so you don't have to go to work. These teachers can take them. And never asked who these people were, just interviewed them.
Yep.
And then of course, when they threw it back to the slab of meat in the
studio.
In the studio, he says, oh, it sounds like there's a lot of, there's something to be investigated. That sounds like fraud.
Yes, that's the big
issue.
Leave it to Fox. That's the big story. That massive doctor fraud going on. What the Fox? All right. That's what happens to me, Chris. It's because of those damn doc blocks on MSNBC. I sometimes have to go to Fox on the weekend.
I know.
What the Fox? All right. Robert in Palm Springs works in a tavern. Jim.
A tavern. Oh, God. Don't say that word.
A public worker.
No, I don't work. Yes, I am a public worker. I work for community college.
Oh, a public worker. I thought you said you're a pub worker.
No, not a pub worker.
Pardon
That's brilliant.
Me.
I love Jim when he cries. I love Jim all the time.
It's different. Public is different than a pub. Sorry.
I'm one of those people who quote-unquote leeches off the public. I make less than $40,000 a year.
Freeloader.
You're ready for this? As part of our collective bargaining agreement this year for the college to save money, we agreed not to take our cost of living increase, nor did we agree to take our step increase. I take the bus to work. So if Nikki in LA thinks that all public employees should be gotten rid of because we get, money down the line for working all these years at these underinflated rates, I think she needs to educate herself a little more.
Here you go. He needs a good Wisconsin teacher.
Yep.
Okay, Pat Buchanan on the McLaughlin Group.
Go. The big issue is this is Barack Obama versus Scott Walker. He is goading the unions. He is goading the demonstrators. He's reading his
own small. You know why? Because Obama has to carry Wisconsin if he's going to win re-election.
He's moving to the left. Yes or no? He's making a move to the left, and it's a mistake nationally.
Wrong! Who knew there was still a McLaughlin Group? That was the thing most shocking about that.
I didn't know John McLaughlin was still on the planet.
Yeah, he,
I'm not dead! Wrong!
He can be forceful, but sometimes he can be doddering as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
Problem is,
Michelle Obama.
And dare I say this, It doesn't look like Michelle Obama follows her own nutritionary dietary advice.
Oh my God.
And then we hear that she's out eating ribs at 1,500 calories a serving with 141 grams of fat. Yeah, it does. I'm trying to say that our First Lady does not project the image of women that you might see on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue.
She could bench press
or
you.
Or of a woman Alex Rodriguez might date every 6 months or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Jim Boss, would you like to start first on...
He's criticizing on someone's her figure? Physique. Really?
Really? Really? Really, Rush? Really? Yes. To see your fine physique in a sumo wrestling match with Chris Christie. That would be
that would be entertaining.
Every girl's dream come true. Okay. Ainsley Earhart?
Yes.
The Fox and Friends, huh?
Well, some Christian churches are allowing Muslims to use their space for prayer,
Chislam.
While nearby mosques are being built and renovated. Mm. A neighborly thing to do?
Yes.
Or sacrificing what is sacred?
Did I tell you? It's the What the Fox story I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. It's Chislam. You're mixing your Christianity and your Muslim-y stuff together.
Muslianity.
Yes. You're getting your Ramadan all up in my Easter. Okay, yep, that's the big story in America, that Chislam, while their mosque is under construction, they're letting them use the...
They're just shocking. Yeah. There's Fox trying to make you afraid of brown people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all Muslims are brown people.
I know, but according to them, all Muslims are brown people.
They have to go to the file footage of scary brown people then, while they're talking about that.
Wow.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right-wing tool, Rich Galen.
Republican strategist, Rich
Galen.
He's
the only right-wing tool that'll let me call him a right-wing tool and still come on the show.
Oh, boy.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God.
Stephanie Miller.
Another pansexual, alcoholic, non-human.
34 minutes after the hour. See, I was right, Chris. I'm always right.
Why?
Because I called Rich Gatlin a right-wing tool, and you corrected me and said he's a Republican strategist. And then we read a blog post where he called them riots in Madison.
Yeah.
And then, so you see, he's a right-wing tool. Good morning, right-wing tool. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, listen, on Turner Classic Movies, as we're having this conversation, there's a Marx Brothers movie on. So as far as I'm concerned, my conversation with you is a redundancy.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
How did you want to begin this conversation?
Oh, Rich Galen, come on now, riots. That's a beautiful show of solidarity and pizza eating.
I know. No, actually, I was drunk when I wrote that, but I'm standing by it.
What? I mean, come on, Rich. You got to say, public opinion is obvious. I think the poll, what do we see, Chris, is something pretty high percentage in this latest statewide poll shows that people are turning against the governor. They're obviously supporting the workers.
Yeah, that was a poll that was taken at AFL-CIO headquarters.
Oh, come on,
please,
Rich.
Right-wing
tool. In the coffee room, right.
Oh, please.
The riot was clearly overstated in the case, but I wanted to make the point that there was that, you know, if it's one thing, I think if you, and I think this is a serious issue. Now, it'll never get, I mean, unless somebody throws something or sets something on fire, it ain't a riot. I agree with that. But I do think that there should be some word to describe the difference between you know, 150 people marching on the sidewalk around with signs and chanting, and 5,000 people crowding into the state capitol building. I mean, I think that is a little bit different than kind of a, you know, just a standard labor demonstration.
Yeah, but I think, you know, look, Rich, I think that unfortunately the governor is painting himself as the one that's unreasonable when you have unions that's saying, yes, we agree to you know, what you're asking for, but, you know, this is becoming so clear that it's just about union busting.
Well, that's probably true, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that, frankly.
Really? No. Well, at least you're an honest right-wing tool.
No, I am an honest right-winger. I mean, there was a time and a place, and there might be a time and a place for unions again, but somebody said, and I wish it had been me because it's pretty smart, somebody said that the difference between a public employee union and, let's say, auto workers, is auto workers are negotiating with a private entity, now again, although they weren't private for a while, but a private entity, and the...
Yes, but they are now. That was kind of a spectacular success, the auto bailout, wasn't it, Rich?
It's my point. That's the point I'm making.
Okay, good.
That they're negotiating with an entity that's in business to make money, and they will come to some conclusion because it doesn't make any sense for the union to make demands that put the company out of business. So there's a normal give and take that works in the private setting. The problem with, I think, one of the problems with public employees negotiating with politicians is that politicians are in the business of giving money away, and if they happen to be the loudest yeller at that moment, then the money goes to them.
The money goes to us.
But it's not.
No, you're right. They didn't yell as loud as the special interest that Scott Walker gave the original $130 million to that he's now trying to make up on the back of the workers. Yes.
Are you done? Are you
mm-hmm.
gonna,
yes.
You're gonna,
yes.
You going to listen to my point?
Yes.
Or,
I guess.
But the point is that negotiating with public officials, negotiating with public unions, are using my money and your money, not the company's money or the stockholders' money, so there's no legitimate end. Having said all that, the problem for almost every state in the union is their balance sheets are so out of whack because of the largely because of the pension plans that something is going to have to be done. I mean, I am not in favor.
And the unions are agreeing.
I'm not in favor of saying, well, you were a teacher for 20 years, and because we so badly misspent, not we,
yeah.
but the governors that me and the governors that came before me have so mismanaged the state that you, but we're going back on the deal we made with you. Not only did we pay you about, you know, 60% of what your value is, or 40% or whatever the number
right.
is, but now we're also going to make you work another 15 years and cut your pension by 50%. I agree with you. I think that's
yeah.
wrong.
No, thank you. Well, Rich, see, that's why I love you. Now, you've been described in your bio as what you get when you cross a political hack with a philosopher.
Yeah.
One
of my old college professors introduced me with that one day at an alumni meeting.
I have to give you some credit. You were press secretary to Dan Quayle and to Newt Gingrich, and those could not have been easy jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, I was so successful. Look what happened to them. I also went to Iraq for 6 months. Look how that turned out.
Are you the one that said to Newt Gingrich, go ahead, shut the government down. I think you'll win the PR battle here.
The truth is that's why I had to come back to Washington. I was out of politics altogether and thrilled about it. And it was during that shutdown fight that I got a call from the speaker's office saying, you got to get back here. We need extra hands. So I came back to Washington.
Frankly, I think I got myself into kind of a pickle here. Yeah.
I don't think this is working out.
How is this going to play out this time, do you think, Rich?
I think they're going to come to some agreement. I think Barack Obama is not the same man today that he was on January 20th, when he was sworn in 2011. I mean, he has learned 2009. He's learned a lot. He has grown an enormous amount in office. I said this on CNN the other night that listening to him today, listening to his speech, the State of the Union and the speech he made in Arizona, are speeches that he simply had no capacity to make 2 years ago. And I think that he and Boehner will come to some agreement. Boehner has to kind of pay obsequience to his right. I mean, those people got elected. There's a lot of them.
Well, he's
but
probably not much of a poker player, a man that cries that much. So I don't know.
Well, they're not. I mean, that's okay. I do the same thing. I mean, I cry at coffee commercials at Christmas time. I get that. I really do. I
what
finances.
What's with Republican men?
Let me just tell you, I was watching Heavy on whatever that's on, TCS,
yeah.
TC, whatever the hell it's on.
Yeah.
And I was crying at the end of it because some guy lost 200 pounds.
Aww.
I'm Mr. Sensitive. Now shut up.
I thought right-wing men are macho. They man up. They only cry when heavy things fall on them, Rich. What's the deal?
Or when my gun misfires.
Ow. I shot myself in the pee-pee. All right. What? All right. Rich,
it's got to be a very small caliber weapon in that case.
Yeah.
Rich Galen writes at Mullings.com, and of course he's on the Stephanie Miller Show, which is really his biggest claim to fame. Rich Galen, love you madly as always.
Thank you, honey.
See you next time. There he goes. He's a good sport. Come on, for as right wing tool goes, he's kind of a reasonable tool.
He's chuckly.
Yeah.
He is. Funny. You know what I was just thinking?
Chuckly and weeply at the same time.
Sending pizza to the protesters in Madison. So yesterday.
Yes.
As Carly Fiorina would say out here in California, I think the Stephanie Miller Show should send beer.
Oh, watch this, the malted liquor.
What goes with pizza?
What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
Really beer
in Wisconsin.
If you think I'm a man.
Beer!
I can kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Got my belly out of here.
Beer!
I could not refuse a beer. I could really use a beer.
Ooh.
Beer.
You're in Wisconsin. Beer comes out of the water faucet.
Do they still make Schlitz?
I don't know.
Hmm.
That'd be funny. Everyone that gets interviewed on TV is drunk. Stephanie Miller says beer.
Or Strohs, land of sky blue waters, which is now full of mercury.
Do they still make Strohs?
Thanks to the Coke.
So you have to give a shout out. How the hell are they doing it over there at Ian's, the pizza place?
I have no idea.
On State Street.
How do we do it? Volume.
Yeah.
Apparently. Over the last few days, they fielded calls from concerned citizens of 12 countries, 38 out of 50 states, looking to donate money to provide pre-pizza to the Wisconsinites who congregated there. On Saturday alone, Ian's gave away 1,057 free slices in their store and delivered more than 300 pizzas to the Capitol itself. Outpouring of money from all over the world has put the pizza makers into overdrive. I'm telling you, it's like the Lucy and Ethel candy factory scene. The blackboard behind the counter lists the countries donating. Employees are still finding time to update the restaurant's social media pages to keep the pizza revolution going and share with the world their chalkboard progress.
Apparently, when you call Ian's, it takes an hour to get through in order to make your order.
Oh,
and then,
geez.
Yeah.
Just call before you're hungry. All right. Of course, all the Republican hopefuls are lining up behind Governor Wanker.
Walker.
Walker.
Wicker?
He's supported by the Koch brothers, as you know.
Koch.
Excuse me?
Koch.
No, I said we'd send beer. Oh, I'm sorry. The brothers behind the... I'm sorry. That's my bad. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels said the attacks on the Wisconsin governor are predictable. Well, yes. That's when you get when you blatantly politically union bust. Daniels said public and employee unions have become the privileged elite in society. Yes, so he was talking about Jim and those teachers again, buying all the fancy pencils. Tim Pawlenty has an online petition supporting Walker for making tough choices needed to avoid financial ruin.
Whatever.
What a load of
Huckabee
bollocks.
Said Obama didn't have to go this far in his critique of Walker's proposals. Yeah, the president, as usual, Jim, just insane, just unhinged.
Oh, yeah,
Black power salute, just crazy angry.
Yeah, and a dashiki.
Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney tweeted that Walker's doing what's necessary to rein in blah, 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 blah. Sarah Palin on her Facebook page said it reminds her of the full-page ads in Alaska when I put my foot down in dealing with union demands. Mm-hmm.
When I put my foot down, I step on Sputnik.
She quit, though.
So I can see
before she's
house.
Talking about before she quit.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, she only did that for 2 years when she was supposed to have done it for at least four.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I hate this job. That's what she emailed that guy that's writing the book. I gotta hate this job. I quit. I'm so out of here.
Take this job and shut up.
I gotta hate it.
Also, too.
Ick. President Obama didn't deserve his Nobel Prize, according to Donald Rumsfeld. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Bitter much?
My stars and garters. I'll be a monkey's uncle.
He said he hadn't accomplished a thing. It was given to him on hope. Had to have been, because there wasn't anything he'd done. Ooh. Bitter, party of one.
Yeah.
Wow.
He also disputed the notion that America's image overseas has improved with Obama in the White House. I don't think there's data that supports that. Oh, no, you're right. We were much more popular when you were in the midst of the illegal war.
Mm.
said, I think he had a practice of trying to apologize for America. I'm personally proud of America. Candy Crowley said, the streets aren't full of people burning him in effigy.
That is true.
Rumsfeld said, I could be wrong. But I honestly don't think it's correct. It's an unknown knowable. It's something that you can't possibly know.
It's an unknown known.
I just have a vague, spidey sense that the Iraq War was enormously popular around the world.
You know what?
Wow.
Obama is able to go to a predominantly Muslim country and not have to stay on one of our bases.
Right.
Rumsfeld, if he went to a predominantly Muslim country, would have had to stay on one of our bases. He wouldn't be safe otherwise.
Wow, I better armor up.
I think that is a good indication.
You go to these countries with the body armor you have, not the kind you wish you had.
All right, 46 minutes. You go to the countries where you're not about to be indicted as a war criminal.
Right.
That's where you go. 46.
Switzerland.
Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is it just me, or do all these dictators' sons seem like big drama queens? Muammar Gaddafi's son.
There will be bloodshed. Rivers of blood will flow. You will migrate from Libya because the oil will stop. The oil companies will leave Libya tomorrow. The foreigners will leave.
They all seem like Scott Evil to me. I don't know, Kim Jong-il's son, all of them.
Well, Scott Evil wasn't a drama queen. He just kind of avoided the spotlight.
Let me get my gun and I'll just pop him.
You're embarrassing me.
Dad.
That stupid umbrella. What the hell? Oh. Okay.
Oh, it hurts, Daddy, when you talk like that, Scotty.
Yay, it's a gymitation. Yay. Oh, all right, we have some updates on Schlitz.
Oh?
Yeah, we've been trying to figure out how we can send beer to the protesters in Madison.
Beer.
I can afford beer. Dominic in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Dominic.
Just calling to let you guys know, I work at the Miller Brewing Company in downtown Milwaukee.
Okay.
I've been a union pipe fitter for the last 20 years.
Yay.
We still make Schlitz.
Yay.
At the brewery. Every bottle is prominently marked union made.
Ooh, that would be perfect
and
then.
And we have sent over 200 of our brothers and sisters to Madison to protest, to stand shoulder to shoulder with everybody in Madison against this bill that Scott Walker has been putting forth.
Oh, good for you. Well, awesome. And thank you for the Schlitz update. I appreciate it.
You know what, though? I'm not entirely sure it's okay to send beer because I don't know about the drinking laws
what?
In Wisconsin.
Is there right. some problem getting school children liquored up?
I'm
not a parent. I don't know the rules.
I don't
send
beer
across
state
lines.
I don't want people to get arrested for having an open container on, you know, government grounds.
Pat in D.C. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
You know, Hams is also brewed, and my son always orders it in the bars that he goes to in Philadelphia.
Ah.
But more importantly, what was that right-wing tool's name? Galen, I think?
Rich Galen, yes.
Yeah. He could have been reading from David Brooks's op-ed this morning in the New York Times, so obviously there's a widespread talking point memo out there.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, by the way, Andy in Madison said he was drinking Schlitz during the Ed Show. Hi,
oh.
Andy.
yeah, hi.
Yes.
Can I be the official guy from Wisconsin?
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know if it was right or wrong. I didn't check the rules, but I was actually drinking a Schlitz up on the Capitol the other night.
Were you?
Yeah.
See, but again, then I would make Rich Galen's theory come true that they would turn into riots, and then the story would be all about
Stephanie Miller
getting everybody liquored up and rioty.
And I'm not sure that we want the only arrests
to be connected to.
To be connected to the Stephanie Miller
well,
show.
Well, it wasn't violent. All right.
Bugs
all right.
With your free beer.
I am not sure this is a good idea in Celebrity Stack. Camille Grammer is now CNN's Oscar correspondent.
Oh.
Listen, Chris, I've worked a red carpet. It's not easy to get celebrities to come over anyway, and I'm just saying.
And it's not easy to ask them coherent questions, is it?
No.
What did you ask Kevin to?
I did ask Kevin Costner, will you send me a note in a bottle?
I meant to say in a bottle, because that was the name of the movie.
That was the movie. I know. Yeah. She's been hired by CNN to cover the Oscars. I'm just saying, it's difficult, even without various odors, to get people to come talk to you.
You know what?
You know,
that issue never came up on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I just hope Kelsey's on the red carpet with his new piece. That'll be awkward. All right. Speaking of...
Although she did have to walk the Tony red carpet with him.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Jim, I bet you're wondering how Lady Gaga got fit in that egg that she came out in.
How did Lady Gaga fit in that egg?
Well, she stays in shape by drinking whiskey.
Hey! Okay. Awesome!
She said, I am on the drunk diet. I live life as I want to creatively. I like to drink whiskey and stuff when I'm working. It's all about cross-training. I have to say, I do a ton of yoga. Mm-hmm. See, that's easier because you're already on the floor, so it doesn't matter if you're drunk, so you can't really fall. It's not where you can injure yourself at.
Well, yeah, you can.
My friend has a T-shirt that says it's Irish yoga, and it's just a bunch of people passed out drunk.
There you go, making fun of the Irish again.
Oh, I'm part Irish. Oh, I love this story. This is so catty and great. Larry King told a BBC radio show that his successor, Piers Morgan, may have been oversold.
Oh, dear.
By CNN as a new edgy type of broadcaster. He was asked about the ratings for Piers Morgan. He said, One of the problems they did was oversell it. He was going to be dangerous. He was going to be water cooler talk. Wait till you see me. I'm different. He's good. Boy. He's not that dangerous. The network would have been better.
I've heard
starting
that.
Off quieter.
I actually haven't seen the show, but I've heard he's not all that dangerous.
Saw a tiny bit. I don't.
Interviewing the Kardashians, and I thought, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
The network would have been better off starting quieter, he added. I'd say, you know how you can start quiet?
Stephanie Miller.
Provably so.
Yeah, because you're known for your quietness.
Mm-hmm. King, I'm edgy. Dangerous.
You're dangerous.
King then damned...
dangerous as in, will she show up sober again?
King then damned Morgan with faint praise, calling him not bad.
Oh.
And certainly an acceptable host. He may have been oversold. I wouldn't say this is a bad show, he concluded. Oh, come on. That's... He's an old Larry King. I miss my Larry. Oh, do you just send me
these... Hello. It doesn't quite work.
Same. Do you always just send me one story, just to someone that has a more of a loser personal life than me?
Which story is this one?
Oh, from the Star Wars blog.
Oh, yeah.
The official Star Wars blog. Romancing the Droid, Why I Married R2-D2. Some chick married R2-D2.
Yeah.
Bonnie Burton. Mm-hmm. After suffering through too many broken hearts, thanks to dating boys who never quite appreciated my geek girl ways, I made a vow never to give my heart again to anyone who rolled their eyes when I attempted a Wookiee roar. I guess you could say I was looking for love in Alderaan places. Get it? Alderaan places. I found the droid I was looking for and I married him. Okay. All right, maybe a bigger loser than me. Oh, Jim, this may be good news for you. Lucy Lawless is losing her sex slave.
What?
She has an opening,
so to speak.
Spartacus actress Leslie Ann Brandt. She appeared as Lucy Lawless's sex slave on Spartacus and the other Spartacus before that. Presumably tired of catching a draft on a green screen set, she has decided not to re-up her contract and head to the Better Clothes Safety of CSI New York.
Ah, good for her.
Yes, it's where you can find her.
Hmm.
All right. Tomorrow.
So you're saying she needs a new sex slave.
Oh, look at this. Tad Palin is participating in the world's longest snowmobile race. The 2,000-mile Iron Dog. Why so long? So he can stay away from Sarah Palin longer. Isn't there a longer one? It's only 2,000 miles. There must be a longer one. All right. That's it for us. Don't forget, tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.